You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Wednesday, December 29th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we're going to start a new series here on the podcast called Comparing the Rebuild, as we are going to take a look at some other teams around baseball who are either in a full rebuild like the Orioles, in some sort of retool, or frankly, are just losing baseball games. And we're going to talk with the hosts of those other shows here on the Locked On MLB Network and experts of those other teams to really get a sense of how those organizations are handling the spot that they are in and comparing it to the rebuild of the Orioles. And today we start with maybe the most interesting team in that group, the Colorado Rockies, because they're not saying they're in a rebuild, and they aren't really in one, but they just dealt Nolan Arenado, and they didn't trade or re-sign Trevor Story or John Gray. And the questions have become, what really are the Rockies doing? Well, we're going to find that out today with Paul Holden. He is the host of Locked On Rockies here on the Locked On Podcast Network, as he will make his first appearance here on Locked On Orioles as we recorded a crossover episode for today, as we will talk about many things concerning the Rockies and the Orioles. But before we get there, just did want to thank you for making Locked On Orioles your first listen of the day. Locked On Orioles is free and available on all podcast listening platforms. And remember, it's the only O's podcast out there bringing you episodes 3 days a week during this offseason and during this lockout as well. So if you like the pod, make sure to like and follow the podcast, subscribe to it wherever you listen. And if you're a listener on Apple Podcasts, if you could give us a 5-star rating and a review on the Apple Podcasts app, that really helps out the pod. And also, new to Spotify, if you are a Spotify listener of the podcast, you can now rate podcasts on Spotify. So if you could give us a 5-star rating on Spotify as well, that would really, really help us out. But again, just did want to thank you for making Locked On Orioles your first podcast listen of the day. And for your first listen today, we are getting to know rebuilds around baseball, or at least what other bad baseball teams have been doing in terms of running their organizations. And today we learn about the Colorado Rockies. We're going to jump right into it with Paul Holden, who is the host of Locked On Rockies here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We talk, what the heck are the Rockies doing? Why did they trade Nolan Arenado? Why did they not trade Trevor Story or John Gray? Can they be good again soon in baseball? How are they able to honestly, you know, be better than their expectations in 2021? And how does their system compare to the Orioles? Plus, we'll talk a little bit about that O's Rockies trade from 2020 that sent Michael Givens to Colorado and got the Orioles pretty good prospects, three of them to be exact, in returns. That's all coming up right now with Paul Holden of Locked On Rockies. I think the Rockies is the most interesting comparison to make because it's hard to kind of pigeonhole them into what exactly they're doing. So I would like to be that the first question that I pose to you is, do you consider this a rebuild, a retool? Are they going for it? Do you not know? Like, where do you classify what the Rockies are doing at the moment?
This is Rockies 101, honestly. And they do not like the word rebuild. They don't want to say they're in a rebuild. They don't want to use the term because they don't want people to not come to Coors Field in the summer. Mind you, this is a Rockies team that is still finishing top 10 in attendance every year. And Nolan Arenado was no longer on the team. I think the Rockies got a nice boost because it was the post-pandemic. I think that was the reason why they were able to, if it was a normal baseball progression in the Nolan trade, I do think you would see a drop, but you saw a lot more not Rockies fans at when the Dodgers and Giants were in town. They were home games just about for those teams when it comes to the crowd. So the Rockies as an organization will never, at least with this ownership and the people in power now, will never use the term rebuild. And honestly, they've never truly embraced a rebuild. I mean, if you're a team that actually thinks you're going to rebuild, you trade Trevor Story and John Gray at the deadline. You don't hang on to them and get a single draft pick for both of them. I mean, that's not a team that's in a rebuild. And they always believe that they are competitive. But, you know, the Rockies, I think, went a little viral this weekend when the Fangraphs was doing their, I think, the depth chart, the Zips projections of all the things. And everyone was just like, woof. I think some guy said a team from Tokyo could beat them in a 7-game set. And when you look at the roster, you're, if the Rockies do nothing this offseason, they have to embrace the rebuild identity, mindset, or at least own up to the fact that they believe that they need to, they need to do something different, because you can't put that team out there and say, we're going to go into LA, we're going to go to San Francisco, and I know they struggled, but we're going to go to San Diego and we're going to beat these teams enough to get into the playoffs, enough to win a division title and do that. There's just no way. So they will, the Rockies certainly should rebuild. They certainly have taken some steps that may make you think that they're rebuilding, but in the big picture, the Rockies most likely are losing their two biggest names, and honestly lost a third when it comes to DJ LeMahieu a couple years ago. This is, you know, so the playoff Rockies are no more, and you look at the state of the Rockies and the future of the Rockies, and you're just like, why is this the plan? Why was this the move? There's nothing about the future of the Rockies and the current state of the Colorado Rockies that makes me not want Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story, and DJ LeMahieu still in the infield.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I also kind of wanted to bring it back to a little bit of an Oriole sense. But, you know, you look at this Rockies team now in this organization with, you know, let's assume without Story and obviously without Gray. And you look at a team that, you know, when I think of the Rockies right now, like, I'm thinking Charlie Blackmon and then some like interesting young guys that they have. And I like their pitching staff at the moment. But the question is kind of what is behind that as well, because they're going to need reinforcements no matter what. So when you look at a team like Baltimore, who has been outwardly saying like they're tearing it down, they're building it back up from scratch. You know, it's been four straight seasons of bad baseball. But on the flip side, they now have the number one system in baseball, number one or number two, depending on your outlet. They have the top prospect in baseball. They have the top pitching prospect in baseball. And they have a couple of guys at the major leagues like Cedric Mullins and Ryan Mountcastle who've done stuff. When you look at another team doing that, you know, does it scare you off of wanting the Rockies to go into a more concrete rebuild? Because it's knowing that the team is going to be like that for 4 years instead of, listen, I think the Rockies overperformed in 2021. So you kind of take out the possibility of that ever happening.
You know, that's the thing. As at least as an Orioles fan, you know that the idea, the thought is that they are building for a big run, a sustainable run with a farm system that is going to keep them competitive, to have a nice long competitive window. Sports are, you know, very rare in sports, and you've got to be very lucky. And there are some teams that are very lucky that are always good, you know, especially when you look at the NL East. It's like, you know, in history in baseball, the Yankees or the Red Sox are probably going to be involved in the postseason chase. That's just how it's always been. But for other teams, that's just not the norm. The Rockies, especially, it's that competitive window that they built. They just slammed it shut on themselves for no reason. At least when I look at the Orioles, and I know how painful it is. And I mean, bad baseball is one of the most tough sports to watch. It's long. It's the season is long. I think that's really the best way to describe it. But at least you know, hey, the idea is to build the number one farm system, to develop some guys that right now are playing on bad teams. But by the time that this farm system is going to continue to rise and come up, they're vets. They've been there. They've been through the hardships. They know what it's like to be a part of bad baseball, and they can learn and grow from that and contribute to that. Right now with the Rockies, if you just keep sitting in this holding pattern of finishing in the middle of the pack, I mean, there's truly deep down, what's the difference between where the Orioles and the Rockies finished this year other than draft order and things of that nature? I mean, the Rockies being successful, sure, it made for more entertaining baseball and fun coverage. But right now, when you look big picture of the Colorado Rockies, there's murky waters. There's owners. There's an owner that has a history of frustration. A new GM that was just hired from within the organization. There's no freshness. There's no new idea coming into Coors Field other than they've developed a pitching staff that can pitch at Coors Field, and it's pretty darn good. Yes, the starting pitching, even losing John Gray, the starting pitching is still a strength of the Rockies. But you mentioned Charlie Blackmon, and Charlie Blackmon is not the same character or player that he once was. He can still swing it pretty good, but he wasn't able to hit the fastball as well this year, and that's a bad sign. However, I'm not doom and gloom. Charlie Blackmon deserves to play. I'm hoping for the DH, because if Charlie Blackmon can just contribute that way, great. You're able to just use his offense and be able to get creative and get playing time for some of these younger guys, like you mentioned, in the outfield. But there's only really one of the young guys that I was really excited. I'm excited about some of them, but one that I actually was like, I think that guy is a certified stud, and that's the second baseman, Brendan Rodgers. He's been the top name for the Rockies for so long. He didn't get a ton of consistent playing time until this year. And he really showed that he is going to be a valuable piece to this team. But at least when I look at the Orioles and I know how hard it is, there's a plan there right now that's the thing. There's no communication. And because really what I'd like from the Rockies front office is for Dick Monfort or Bill Schmidt, the GM, to come out and explain to me how the Rockies are in a better position to be successful and in a better position to win the World Series, honestly, in 2022 versus 2021 and versus 2018, when that offseason was where you let Jeff Breidich take over. And how are the Rockies in a better position? Because they don't have the number one farm system in baseball.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that too. Like, you know, because the Orioles, the thing that has been built up really the best is the system. And behind that has been just investing in international free agents. Like, the Orioles never did that before Mike Elias came in as GM. And then, you know, they've built a new facility in the Dominican Republic. They are finally spending seven-figure signing bonuses on, you know, teenage players to bring them into the system. And also through trades, through the draft, they have built up the system into, you know, I think it's probably consensus number two in baseball right now. And, you know, it's really interesting to talk about the Rockies doing this, because the Orioles made a deal with Colorado about a year and a half ago at the 2020 deadline. They sent Michael Givens over to the Rockies, and the Orioles got three prospects back. And there is a sense that by probably the midseason 2022 report for the Orioles, there is a good chance that all three of the prospects that they got from Colorado in that trade, Tyler Nevin, Taron Vavra, and Michel Deson, will all be top 30 prospects for the Orioles. And this is in the second best farm system in baseball. So I don't want to say, like, why did the Rockies make that trade? But my question is, like, how do you see that deal from the Colorado side? Because it was like, what, a season of Givens for right. a team that didn't go to the postseason, to give up three guys who Orioles front office, Orioles fans are pretty excited about, all three of them.
Rockies love to buy on a hot name or a name that has a history in baseball, a vet. And look at the last free agent signings, Ian Desmond, Daniel Murphy. None of these, it's just a class. It's again, it's just an example of, what? Like how? Like, how is this, when you're in the negotiations, you're in the deal, one pitcher for three prospects, and now, and where's your hindsight to not at least have an inkling and have an idea that these guys are going to turn out to be top 30 prospects? You can't be for Michael. I mean, again, Michael Givens was solid, but the Rockies shipped him off to the Reds for, you know, not that much, not three top 30 prospects. Absolutely not. You know, it's the Rockies get a couple of steals and deals here and there. They got Elias Diaz, which was great in that deal. They got production at the catcher position for the first time in a long, long time on offense. But again, it's just like, that's what you traded Nolan Arenado for. You couldn't match the John Gray Texas Rangers deal. You couldn't find a suitor for Trevor Story at the deadline. That wasn't a good deal. I just, it's just like what? So when I look at the trade that like a trade like that from the Rockies perspective, it's a clear example of missing it of just a swing and a miss. If you're giving away that much, not having a little, you know, you're never going to know with prospects. It's development. It's tough, but that's just a pure example of a Rockies swing and a miss.
So we'll get back to talking Rockies and Orioles with Paul Holden in just a second. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. And it's the new year almost, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure to include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, or maybe even better. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good you'll want to eat it, unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy, and honestly, they're just some of them just aren't good. But that's not the case with Built Bar. They've got delicious flavors across the board. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream, salted caramel, just to name a few. And they're always putting out new limited time flavors as well. And they're good for you. You know, it tastes like a candy bar. It's delicious, but just 130 calories, only about 4 grams of sugar and net carbs. How about 17 grams of protein per bar? That is the good stuff. So if you want to get in on these delicious and nutritious protein bars, go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. You look at that deal, and obviously those three guys and Deson and Nevin and Vavra are not in the system anymore, but I know they got guys for Arenado. And that was obviously a widely talked about trade with the amount of money that Colorado also sent to St. Louis. Just a weird, weird, weird deal. I'm sure your listeners have heard enough about that. We don't have to get into it. But I wanted to ask, with what the system looks like right now for Colorado, and I know, you know, Zach Veen's at the top, you know, the first round pick out of high school, and it's going to be a while for him to get to the big leagues. But, you know, besides Veen, kind of who is ready, let's say this year? Like, who at the top of the system for the Rockies are fans excited about maybe seeing in 2022 that can start to maybe, you know, move things in the right direction? Because the Orioles have a lot of those guys who, like, you know, 2022 is the time we're finally going to see these guys. Are there guys in Colorado where, okay, this year is the time, you know, among, you know, maybe top 10 or 15 prospects that, you know, we're finally going to see those guys?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple potentially. It really depends on the Rockies' approach to free agency. Will they actually do anything? Because they should, but that's going to drastically impact what you're at. So the Rockies, best prospects are both outfielders, but they're both far off. Zach Veen and Benny Montgomery are both, you know, way off. But we've seen a little bit of the number three ranked Ryan Rollison, not a ton of innings. So there's young arms that didn't show you a lot classic kind of got rocked a little bit, but when I see young arms and especially arms that don't get to come up and throw consistently, you got to give them a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. But again, there's nothing to me that I'm super excited about coming up for the Rockies really outside of Veen. And I will say this Benny Montgomery guy can be a very interesting player, but that's 2025. I mean, those two in the outfield, I mean, if they pan out, that could be a very fun outfield. But there's one guy that came onto the Rockies last year, and he's older, but he was just getting in. His name's Connor Joe. And Connor Joe came into – he brings that kind of who's this guy, what's his deal approach. And he came up to the major league level and was able to perform and take solid at-bats. Still was – you know, had things to work on. But what was nice is he's not afraid to take that close pitch. And he's not, he's not afraid to demonstrate discipline that I think players only get when they've seen a lot more pitching. And his career has been derailed by testicular cancer and going up and down and all this stuff. But it's a matter of where does he fit into the lineup? What are you doing? What are the Rockies going to do with Raimel Tapia, their everyday left fielder for the past couple of years, who is a really interesting player, but hits the ball on the ground 64% of the time. I mean, and he can still leg it out. He's fast and he's unique, but I'm also a little excited about Sam Hilliard. He's got great pop on the bat. Got to limit the strikeouts, though. You know, this classic young, he was getting a little overpowered, but man, could only hit home runs on the road. Couldn't do it on at Coors Field, the exact opposite, which is kind of funny there. But I'm keeping my eyes on Connor Joe, Sam Hilliard, and Brendan Rodgers as well, because this he earned the second base starting job last year, and now this will hopefully he's had health issues in the past, but if he stays healthy, him and Ryan McMahon are going to be two dynamic threats for the Rockies in that offense, and they're going to bring it. But you know, the Rockies will probably turn to a prospect to replace Trevor Story. Is it Elirius Montero? Is it Alan Trejo, who's gotten a little bit of work as well? Those are some of the younger guys. But maybe the Rockies go after and do something to try and get a shortstop. John Heyman says that you know, the Rockies are interested in bringing Trevor Story back. But I mean, let's be real on that one. So yeah, those are some of the names to be excited for. But again, in terms of like that, wow, I don't think the Rockies really have that. But Connor Joe, I do think could be, if the comparison was great, I saw from someone. If Connor Joe turns out to be Max Muncy, we'll be very happy by that.
Yeah, you'll take that. And I do know with 100%. The Rockies, yeah, it's a weird different scenario because they're not into the rebuild, which means they're not as focused on building up the minor league system, acquiring guys via trade. You know, if they were, they would have dealt Story and they would have dealt Gray and, you know, at the deadline.
You know, it's interesting you say that, but this is a team that says we are a draft and develop team. Okay, you drafted and developed these superstars. You built this, but you didn't want to build around them. Like, so how does your draft and development mindset work when you've developed a starting pitching rotation that is solid at home and on the road in the competitive years? You know, the Rockies were good and competitive and almost won the NL West because their pitching was good, both at home and away. You drafted Nolan, you drafted Trevor, you drafted, I think actually DJ was in a trade, but you kind of developed DJ. You looked at him and said, let's give him a shot. And then it pays off as a draft and development team for you. But then you don't do anything. And yeah, again, but and through that, you're not, those prospects that the Rockies got weren't even, I don't think some of the Cardinals' top prospects. The Rockies have to pay money to the Cardinals for the next two seasons for Nolan Arenado to not play for that, you know, for not play for them. And Austin Gomber didn't pitch an entire year this year. I mean, that's a huge, you know, like Austin Gomber was good. But that's a huge red flag. If he's going to have a history of injuries, that's the big blow. Cause that was the big piece in that trade. I think more so than that, the Rockies really valued Austin Gomber. So yeah. When you break it down, it again, it's just everyone else is saying, what are you doing? But you are all trying to sit here and tell us that this is all part of the plan, but you won't say what the plan is. It's all very confusing.
It's kind of the downside of the go for it every year. Like there is definitely merit to say, go for it every year. Like you should never be tearing things down. You should never, you know, at worst you should maybe have a retool year, but that's, you know, but this is kind of the downside of it is when, you know, your plans don't come into effect and you can't re-sign Story and you can't bring back Gray and you feel like you have to trade Arenado. So we'll get back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first, let's talk about betonline.ag, which has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football continues its march through the College Bowl season and the Pro Football Playoffs, and remember, coming up in just 2 days, the College Football Playoff National Semifinals on New Year's Eve. Always a good time to get some wagers in on those two games. And BetOnline, it does remain your number one spot for all the sports action this season, not just football, but everything we got going on. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. Again, that is promo code LOCKEDON. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, so don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available at betonline.ag, where the game starts. you come into this weird spot. And I think, you know, when we're comparing the Rockies to the Orioles here, it's really interesting because, you know, you talked about who's in the Rocky system, and it's Veen and Montgomery at the top, the last two first round picks for them, who were both high school outfielders. So they're both really talented. And I think both of them are going to be good big leaguers. But as you talked about, you know, maybe best case scenario, they're both in the big leagues in like 2024. So, you know, it's a while to wait. You flip to the Orioles side where, you know, clearly the Rockies have more talent at the major league level. We all know that than the Orioles right now, but the Orioles' top three prospects could all potentially all be in the big leagues this year. I mean, Adley Rutschman's the top prospect in baseball. He's probably going to be the Orioles' opening day catcher. Grayson Rodriguez is the top pitching prospect in baseball. And he, after a little time in AAA, is going to be in the big leagues midway through the season. And then the Orioles' number two pitching prospect, DL Hall, who's a lefty and is essentially like has Andrew Miller stuff. If he hadn't gotten injured this year, he probably would have been an opening day guy for 2022. He'll be a late season 22 guy, but it's really interesting to see how, you know, the Orioles, yes, have built this up and now it's time. And I did want to ask you one thing quickly before I wanted to get to just a little segment about kind of the trades the teams have made, but for the Orioles, you know, the year they're putting out and the year that I'm kind of buying, at least for a contending baseball team that could make the playoffs, is 2023. That's kind of the year they've said 22 will be interesting. We will win more games. We will have better players. 2023, we're going to try to make the playoffs. And so I wanted to flip that to you because the Rockies aren't necessarily like following a step-by-step plan right now. When do you think, you know, and I know this rides a lot on, you know, how much money they spend when this lockout ends, you know, whatever it may be. If you had to just guess right now, the next year that Colorado makes the playoffs, what would that guess be?
It's really tough. Because I think the NL West is approaching a point where the top is going to topple. The Dodgers can't sustain a four Cy Young, seven Hall of Famer, three MVP lineup all the time. As we saw in this offseason, you can't bring them back. And it didn't even work in the end anyway. The Giants always are going to be around, but how much are we buying into this past year? Is there more that the Giants were just great, but everyone was just great out of nowhere, but they're a smart team. So they're always going to be around, but I think there's going to be a point where the chips aren't going to be able to fall for them, but that's where it all comes down to. The Rockies could be in a better place because there are interesting like players at the major league level for the team right now, but you've really delayed or pushed back anything by being inactive at the deadline in 2021, getting yourself closer to playoff contention. That's a tough question to truly answer with a year, because if the pieces are successful, the Rockies will always be good at home. They as they showed last year, but how, if you don't replace your highest wins above replacement player in Trevor Story with a high wins above replacement player, and you don't bring that power bat into the outfield, and you do look at that roster we talked about earlier, there's nothing there that has this Rockies team competing in the next 3 to 4 years. Maybe in 5 years with a total, you know, it could be a whole refresh. Benny and Zach Veen could be coming up. Ryan McMahon, I think Ryan McMahon is a superstar caliber player. If he can get a consistent season of hitting, I think he will be honestly a fine replacement for Nolan Arenado. I think if you know, you're not upset when you're the person you have playing third base to replace Nolan Arenado loses to Nolan Arenado in the Gold Glove final category. You're ecstatic by that.
Right.
And Ryan McMahon has the ability to impact games like Nolan on offense, but he's not as good as a hitter, not as consistent as Nolan. So it all truly depends. If the Rockies want to be competitive, they have to spend money. I'm sorry. There's just no excuse anymore. And again, embrace the rebuild. Own up to the fact that you want to do this, or actually prove to us as the fans that you are committed to bringing playoff baseball back in the next few years. Because right now, there's nothing that I would say puts the Rockies in playoff contention for the next 3 to 5 years, other than, you know, these prospects really turn out well, or they actually go out and spend some money. I mean, you're a top 10 team in attendance every year. The lowest you've been in basically the past decade is 15th. And I'm sorry, Denver is not a small market anymore. I don't think that Denver sports can hide behind a small market narrative anymore. Denver is easily a major metropolitan in the United States now. It's a travel hub. Everyone wants to go there. And again, everyone shows up for their team's home games when they're at Coors Field. So, you know, if things do go well for the Rockies, I think they could get a wild card spot just because if they invest in their offense, they will get back to the playoffs sooner because they got the arms right now. I mean, that starting rotation is good enough to keep you in there. You need to go out and get a reliever. You need to get, you know, bolster that bullpen a little bit, see what these younger arms that you have seen, you know, given some shots to in there. And yeah, if all of those pieces fall together, sure, maybe in 3 to 5 years, the Rockies can go for the wild card, but they're not doing enough to win a division title anytime soon, I don't think.
So our thanks again to Paul Holden, the host of Locked On Rockies here on the Locked On Podcast Network, for joining us to talk about really what the Rockies are doing with their team right now and how it compares to the current Orioles rebuild. And definitely a really, really good conversation with Paul there, hitting a bunch of different topics. I know we went a little longer than we've been going with the episodes, but it was just a great conversation with Paul. And you can hear even more from that conversation. The full conversation will be broken down over the rest of the week over at Locked On Rockies. You can get that podcast wherever you get your pods. We had even more of a conversation that Paul is posting over there. You can also follow Paul on Twitter at PaulHolden33 for all your Rockies takes and news from that team out in Denver. But really interesting to hear his perspective, I think, specifically about the Michael Givens trade. I thought that was a really cool part of this conversation. You know, Givens obviously was sent to the Rockies at the deadline in 2020, where the Rockies did not even make the expanded playoffs in 2020, but they were still kind of going for it that year. It was very weird. And they gave the Orioles Michel Deson, Tyler Nevin, and Taron Vavra, and there's a chance that all three of those guys are Orioles' top 30 prospects at some point. That was a great trade for the O's right there, and the Rockies don't even have Givens anymore. He finished last year with the Cincinnati Reds, so definitely, you know, a good insight into what the heck are the Rockies doing, because I think a lot of people around baseball, and especially outside of Colorado, had that same exact question, and hopefully we were able to somewhat answer that on today's episode. We're going to continue this series over the next couple of weeks here throughout the offseason. We'll talk Pirates, we will talk Royals, we'll talk Tigers, you know, teams across baseball. We'll talk Marlins, you know, anybody who's kind of in this position, Diamondbacks as well, and compare the rebuilds to what the Orioles are doing at the moment. But one piece of Orioles news, speaking of the Rockies, Rio Ruiz, who, if you remember, after the Orioles DFA'd him, caught on with the Rockies for a bit last season, he is not going to be playing professional baseball in the U.S. next season, as Rio is going to head over to the KBO in South Korea. He has signed a deal with the LG Twins, which, of course, the team we adopted here on the podcast is our favorite KBO team when the KBO came back in 2020 during the pandemic before any other league had. And the reason we had adopted the LG Twins is because Hyunsu Kim is, you know, really the top hitter for the LG Twins. They're a pretty good team over in the KBO. So now Rio Ruiz joins Hyunsu Kim over there, and the Twins, the LG Twins, they also signed Adam Pletko this offseason. Of course, Pletko, who was with the Orioles for most of 2021 after they acquired him via trade from Cleveland before the year started. So it's going to be Pletko, Kim, and Ruiz all with the LG Twins in 2022. And they will continue to be the official KBO team of Locked On Orioles. So we wish the best to Rio Ruiz, who had obviously some cool moments in Baltimore, including the walk-off home run against the Astros in 2019. We wish him the best over in Korea. Hopefully he can continue his professional baseball career over there. And maybe if he wants to, get back to the big leagues at some point in the future. But that will do it for today's episode here on the pod. We'll be back for one more episode this week coming up on Friday, a New Year's Eve episode and a Free Agent Friday. It'll be one of our final Free Agent Fridays of the offseason. We're going to talk about outfielders because I know the Orioles have already a logjam in the outfield in the major leagues and at AAA as well. But hey, the Orioles, you know, they could go out, maybe sign an outfielder to a minor league deal, maybe bring in a veteran or somebody they take a chance on to just bring some more competition to spring training in 2022. So on Friday's episode, we will talk about three potential outfielders that the Orioles could bring in on a minor league deal. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.